Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We'll read chapter 22, a short passage today to leave ample time for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Short but powerful. Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. We're continuing our sermon series called With Jesus in Jerusalem, the final chapters and the final days in his passion for our redemption. And today we consider his theme, Jesus and the denial. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. This is the word of the Lord. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. This is the word of the Lord. Let us ask the Spirit's blessing. Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during the Battle of the Wilderness campaign in the Civil War, Union General John Sedgwick was inspecting his troops, and at one point he approached a low parapet over which he gazed out at a distance at the enemy. Well, a few of his officers suggested that this was unwise. Perhaps he should duck out of the way to avoid enemy fire, to which he snapped, nonsense. At this distance, why, they couldn't hit an elephant. And you know what happened? A moment later, he fell to the ground, fatally wounded. Presumption. It is a dangerous thing, dear church, to be presumptuous, to be overconfident. I can handle it. I've got it covered. Now, on one hand, I'd like to say as a pastor, it always warms my heart when I do speak with young believers in Christ and they say, Pastor, I will never turn back. I will always be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I understand that. It warms my heart because, you see, they've experienced new life in Jesus Christ. They have experienced freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, newness of life in the Holy Spirit, and it makes us glad. And of course, during that moment, we will say, I will never, never, never turn back. But such talk should also fill the church with fear. Because that kind of talk is naive. It's very naive. And that is why the Apostle Paul tells us it is naive. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let these words burn into your minds. So, if you think you are standing firm, take heed, lest you fall. So why do people turn away? If you've been around in the church long enough, over time, you are going to see people turn away. I remember as a young person being highly offended by my pastor predicting at one youth gathering one day that many of you could turn away. Why do our loved ones turn away? Why do longtime followers of Christ that we walked with many years suddenly disappear? Well, some people who turn away were never Christians to begin with, and Jesus makes that clear in his many parables. In the parables of Jesus, we learn that many who fill the church will be people who think they are Christians or pretend to be Christians or simply pass on the outside as a Christian, but they are not renewed in their heart by the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls such people by many names. He calls them tares in Matthew 13, 24 and following. And about those tares, he says this. He says, at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Jesus calls them elsewhere, good fish and bad fish, in Matthew 13, 47 and following. And about those fish, in particular those bad fish, he says in verse 48, then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. Perhaps the most famous parable of all where Jesus deals with this issue is the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, verse 31. And about them, the goats, he says this in verse 45, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And so there are many, Jesus says, who are in the church, but they are pretenders. Their professions are false. They are short-term followers. And on the day of judgment, he warns that even they, self-deluded, might say, Lord, Lord, did I not do X, Y, Z? To which our Lord will say, I never knew you, and cast them into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That explains some, why some fall away. Now, there are others who are people who fall away, but they merely stumble for a season. And that is our story today. They are Christians, yes. They are bona fide followers of Christ, yes. But they temporarily act out of character. They do violence to their new nature in Christ. And one symptom that they are truly belonging to Christ is that they are miserable while they do it. Miserable as they do it. In retrospect, they realize that they had a temporary lapse into insanity. And that best describes Simon Peter in our text today. And about Simon Peter in our text today, Jesus says three things. He makes a prediction about the denial. He makes a promise about the denial. And then he hears a protest about the denial. Our first point is the denial predicted. The denial predicted. Let me read verse 34. You follow along. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Now, this is a real downer of a statement. Jesus tells this to Peter moments after a pleasant dinner. It was a very moving dinner. It was the Lord's Last Supper. And this was such an inspiring meal. And all who were in that room felt the presence of the Spirit. They were moved in spirit, moved by heart. And they come out of the meal into the fresh evening air. And that is when Jesus tells Peter the news, oh, by the way, you are going to deny me. And hardly had the shock worn off when it came true. By verse 60, Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but actually three times. And what is the point of this? Why does Luke and many of the gospel writers include this story that Jesus predicted the whole denial? Jesus predicted the denial. He predicted that the other disciples would scatter. He predicted that Peter, their leader, would deny him not once, not twice, but three times. What is the reason this denial was predicted? The reason Luke records this prediction is because he wants to assure all of us, his followers, in all times and places, that when we, like Peter, flee in the hour of fear, when we, like Peter, backslide into denial, when we, like Peter, lapse from our high calling in Christ, Jesus already knows these things in advance, and he still accepts you, and he still receives you. That is why he predicts it. Today in church, many of us talk about the need to make commitments to Christ. This is what pastors and elders do all the time with our covenant young people or with those who are outsiders who come in, a need to make a commitment to Christ. But Luke shows us even what is more important, not our commitment to Jesus, but his commitment to us. That is the gospel. Jesus is committed to us. And it is remarkable. Jesus Christ will never cast us away because of our faults and our failures. He knows your faults before your conversion. And the Bible says that full well, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew you were a sinner when he went to the cross for you. And Jesus knew what your faults would be after your conversion, that you, like Peter, will be weak, you will be frail, you will be wayward, and yet he loves you and remains committed to you, as we see in the life of Peter. He takes us once we are joined to him by saving faith, and he will never put you away. The writer of Hebrews loves to celebrate it by saying he is a merciful and gracious high priest. It is his glory to overlook the transgressions of his people and cover our many sins. So that is what some of you must remember right now, because you have fallen hard. You are in a position in life that you could not imagine yourself being in only a few short years ago. And I try to warn young people this all the time. Young people who find church going, look, I know we're filled with a bunch of middle-aged people. We are not the most fun, excitable group you're ever going to be with. And it's easy to skip church. It's easy to spend time away from church. But here is your danger, young person. Many of you think that when you walk away from the church, that all of the benefits and blessings that you've enjoyed all these years are just going to stay with you as you go. So you'll get all the benefits of Christ's glory in his church, and you can go out and lead your and rule your own lives. And I try to warn young people when they take off in that direction in a year or two or three, do not assume that all the blessedness of your life today will be with you then. You might find yourself being a person in 3 to 5 years that you never dreamed you could become. Maybe you've taken that road already. And you don't like who you've become. You do not like what is going on inside of you right now. Well, this morning, this message of Jesus to Peter is to remind you that when you finally fall and you fall hard, Jesus is not taken by surprise. Maybe you were taken by surprise. Maybe you thought, oh, I'll be fine. I can have my cake and eat it too. I can have all the blessings of the covenant, all the blessings of redemption in Christ, and lead an independent life doing whatever I please. You thought that would work. You thought you could stay fruitful by cutting your branches from the root of Jesus. You thought that you, the limb of Jesus, when you were chopped off from Jesus and walk away, that the fruit would keep on growing. Cut away from the root, Jesus. The older Christians, we've tried that before. We know that doesn't work so well. We warned you, you didn't believe. But now you do. But the good news is Jesus was not caught off guard. He knew of your coming failure long before the foundations of the world, and he still handpicked you and died for you and remains committed to you. And so the good news is you are welcome to come back to Jesus today. As John Calvin liked to say, my heart I give to you promptly and sincerely. There is no better time than today. Your wandering from Jesus did not catch him off guard. You are welcome to come back today. That's how it is with Jesus. In the Reformed and Presbyterian tradition, we call it all of grace. All of grace. It's from grace to the beginning, grace to the end. All of grace. But now to just pause to speak to some of us older followers of Christ. In light of Jesus not being caught off guard when he is betrayed, why are we caught off guard when we are betrayed? And why do we drop people when they betray us? Why do we write off fellow Christians in the Church of Christ when they, from time to time, display an old Peter-like nature? When they show that nature not once, not twice, but three times, three denials. Even more in another passage, 70 times seven. Why do we act so shocked and judge them and say they certainly cannot be sincere Christians? Jesus is patient with his people in our weakness. We can be patient with each other. Jesus actually makes that point in verse 32. Look at verse 32. It's this little caveat. It's wonderful. He says, oh, by the way, Peter, and when you have turned back, strengthen the brothers. When you finally come back, Peter, strengthen the brothers. Strengthen the brothers. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ is much like a hospital. We expect people to be sick when you come into this place because we all need the great physician. So when you are healed, strengthen the brothers. Or as they say in Hebrews, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves, but let us meet to encourage one another and build each other up, especially as we see the day approaching. Strengthen the brothers. Never forget that the complete cure for denial comes on the day of resurrection and not one day sooner, as Peter illustrates. And so this denial prediction shows his commitment to Peter and to us. That's our first point, the denial prediction. Our second point is the denial promise, the denial promise. Now, Jesus predicted this denial so accurately because he knew a promise. He knew a promise from the Bible. He knew the promise of Scripture. He knew the Scriptures foretold this would happen to the Messiah, to the Lord's Messiah. We read that in Zechariah 13:7. Zechariah 13:7 foretells the striking of the shepherd, the scattering of the sheep. Peter is a sheep, therefore he shall scatter. The other gospels make that clear as well. Mark 14:27 puts it this way. You shall all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And so Jesus knows the promise of the Scripture, so in the sorrow of denial, he stands firm. And being betrayed is profoundly painful. And so Jesus hangs on to God's promise. He hangs on to God's plan. He knows that darkness will occur in Gethsemane. He is neither shaken nor moved. He knew the promises of God. Peter, on the other hand, forgot the promises of God. That is why we fall so badly in the pressure to deny. Peter saw the danger, and his heart was filled not with hope, but fear. His mind forgot the promises of Scripture. His mind kept forgetting what God had said the Messiah must do, what Jesus kept telling them again and again he must do. I must go to Jerusalem, and I must suffer and die, and 3 days later I will rise again. Peter forgets. Peter failed to see the footprints of God working out God's perfect plan in times of chaos. Jesus saw his Father in the chaos. Jesus knew that the promise to strike the shepherd and scatter the sheep, though brutal, was part of the promises of God. And so in some way or another, God was behind the striking of the shepherd. And not one blow would fall on Jesus that was not necessary for his glory and our salvation. Jesus knew the promise. Now, you and I know hundreds of promises from the Bible, don't we? If you come to church once a week, you get 52 of them a year. If you go twice, you get 104. And if you open your Bibles in between, which I hope you do, you have hundreds. They are preached in our pulpits. They are studied in our Bibles. And yet, when the day of darkness and affliction comes, why is it so often we're like, it's like I never knew they were there? It seems, dear church, that we have to be on the sick bed, or we have to lose our jobs or undergo tremendous, powerful pain for us to suddenly realize and remember the promises of God. For some reason, God whispers to us in our joys and shouts to us in our pain. And so, dear church, my urging to you is when you are in the chaos of betrayal or sorrow or pressure to betray, fix your mind on the promises of God. They alone sustain. Fully embrace them. The promise of Scripture. But there's another promise too. The second promise you need to remember during temptation to deny is that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, prays for you. He prayed for Peter. Remember, that's how he opened the passage. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. The pleasant thing is that the Scriptures affirm that that's a paradigm for the ministry of Jesus for all of us, not just Peter. Christ is praying and interceding for you. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, therefore Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. And so you who embrace Jesus Christ by faith, if you find yourself growing weary and are hardly able to pray, Jesus still prays for you. If you are losing hope with a long-term trial that you've given up praying on, Jesus still prays for you. If you are in the loneliness and isolation that comes with trials and you wonder, who's praying for me? Does anybody care? Jesus is praying for you. Each day you should embrace that promise when you face a situation where you are tempted to deny him. And say to yourself, today I shall overcome the sifting of Satan because Jesus is praying for me. And it is inconceivable that the prayers of Jesus will not be answered. The denial prediction. The denial promise. And finally, the denial protest. Why do we protest? Peter protested, verse 33, he said, but he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. At that moment in time, Peter thought it impossible to deny the Lord. And you might think it was just Peter, but in the other Gospels, you see the other disciples had the same opinion. But hardly 12 hours had passed before they all deserted the Lord and ran, and Peter denied. Danger swept away the promises. I think we know little of ourselves until we are placed in a position of great danger. Someone once said these words, "There is no degree of sin into which the greatest saint may not run if he is not held up by the grace of God." Dear church, never forget the seeds of denial lie hidden in every heart. We only need a convenient season for them to spring forth. Hold on to the prediction, hold on to the promises of Jesus. In this world, there are many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And never be presumptuous. Do not protest. Hold on to his grace to stay in his path. The year was AD 155, and Jesus gave grace to another man by the name of Polycarp of Smyrna. Polycarp was an old man. He was 86. He was the bishop of Smyrna, a very godly man. He knew the Apostle John personally, and he was urged by the Roman consul to renounce Jesus Christ. And this is what the old man said. 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my king and my savior? I have respect for your age, the official said. All you must do is simply point to the Christians and say, "Away with the atheists," and you will be set free. But the aged Polycarp pointed to the pagan crowd instead and said, "Away with the atheists." And he was burned. But he gave joyful testimony of Jesus Christ, all because Jesus gave him grace. Jesus gave that grace to Peter, who later preached up a storm on the day of Pentecost. Jesus later gave that grace to the other disciples, who all to the man were martyred for Jesus. And Jesus gives grace today. If you and I ever lose our sanity for a season and deny our Lord Jesus for a time, let us remember this prediction. Let us hold on to the promises. Stop protesting and seek grace from Jesus. And let us all say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this account written for our instruction. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us grace to not be presumptuous, to know that there are many who may deny for a season or longer, to hold on to the promises of God during those days of chaos. Please, Lord, ever live to intercede for us. Please help us, O Lord, to walk with you by grace. As we enjoy this Lord's Supper, we pray you would spiritually strengthen us. Thank you for hearing. In Jesus' name we pray. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151, or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.